As a matter of fact, it doesn't seem to be recording very much at all. No, there it goes. Now it's recording and we'll see. Well, I don't think it makes a difference as long as you're right there, but we'll see.
Now you talk.
See, if I'm talking, you can hear me very clearly, but if you talk... Oh, we're going to start... Oh, now he's moving it around back and forth and back and forth and seeing what happens. Okay, would you like to say a few words to our sponsors?
No.
Oh, okay, fine.
Stace? I'll tell you the truth, I'm not sure if this is the scheduled topic for tonight. But I lost track of which topic was supposed to be tonight, so I hope this is what was on the schedule. The topic for tonight is friendship. And the mitzvah, of course, which has to do with friendship, is the mitzvah of Vavta Recha Kamocha. But I don't want to start with discussing Vavta Recha Kamocha. I want to start with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which describes the necessity to acquire a friend, and see the Rambam there and go on from there. The Mishnah here is on the top of page 1, and you say it's basically three words that we have to see, but we'll see the whole Mishnah. Starting the second from the letter Vav in the top, which is the third line down. Yehoshua ben Prachi v'Nitai Arbeli Kiblu Mehem. Yehoshua ben Prachi v'Nitai Arbeli received the Torah from the aforementioned people in this perek. Yehoshua ben Prachi Omer, Yehoshua ben Prachi says, Aseil Chorav, make for yourself a Rebbe, a teacher, and acquire for yourself a friend. Now, what does this mean, says the Rambam? The Rambam says here, very, very fundamental Rambam, in his Perush on Pirkei Avos. He says, let's see where we should start from. From V'armu K'nei L'chol Chaver, which is seven lines down from the end of the first column. V'armu. And they said, K'nei L'chol Chaver, acquire for yourself a friend. Amro b'loshon k'niya. It says in a language which indicates acquisition. V'lomar aseh l'chol chaver. It doesn't say that make for yourself a friend. Or ischar b'l'chaverim, or join up with friends. V'chayotze b'zeh, or something similar. Hakavana, because the intent is sh'roi l'odom l'kachas l'atzmo chaver. It is proper for a person to take himself a friend. Al kopanim, no matter, even if it costs him money. Kadesh Yud will be kach kol niyot, because all his matters will be improved. Kamosha Amar, like it says, O ichavrusa imisusa, either friendship or death. V'im lo yimtzeo, if he doesn't find one, tzarech lishtadla b'kach, he has to make an attempt to find one. V'afilu yirchashu l'chaveres t'chila, and even if he has to pay him for at first to be his friend, achi achover until he'll be his friend, v'lo yechta linhog l'fi rucho, and he should not cease from acting in a way which pleases the spirit of his potential friend, until the friendship becomes stronger. Like the people of ethics say, if you want to become a friend to somebody, don't become a friend on your terms, but become a friend on his terms, of your friend. When everybody follows this directive in forming a friendship, the purpose of each one of them will be l'dover echad l'bli safek, for the same purpose without any question. The kama noem mama aristo, and how pleasant is the statement of Aristotle, hayedid ha'acher hu ata, the other friend is you. In other words, that you will, by becoming as your friend is, you in reality are acquiring in yourself new traits, those traits which a necessity in order to form your friendship, in order that you'll have common ground. Now says the Rambam a very important thing. V'chaverim shlosh sugim, there are three types of friends. Chaver l'toeles, a friend for the purpose of achieving an advantage. V'chaver anah, a friend for the purpose of achieving pleasure. V'chaver l'davar nale, and a friend for the purpose of achieving a lofty goal. Hachaver l'toeles, a friend for the purpose of benefit. Hukigon chaveru shnei ashutvim is like the friendship of two partners, chavros hamelech v'tzvo, or like the friendship between a king and his army. That's the lowest form of friendship. It really is not a friendship, it's kind of a partnership in order to achieve some common goal. Avachaver anoa, but the friend for pleasure, ushnei sugim. There are two different types. Chaver tanuk, a friend who provides you with literal pleasure, V'chaver bitachon, a friend who provides you with confidence. Chaver tanug, a friend who provides you with pleasure. Hukichaverus haschorim l'nekevus v'nisuin. It's like when men and women get together and marry each other, v'chayetziv, etc., in order to enjoy, to have the pleasure of each other's company and all that that entails. V'chaver bitachon, the friend which provides confidence, hushiyeh lo adam chaver, that a person should have a friend, shadaso somechas alav, that he can rely on, she'eno nishmar mimenu, that he doesn't have to safeguard himself from this person, lo b'maisen, not in deed, v'lo b'dibor, not in speech. U'megalo kol yarn, and he reveals all his matters, hatov mehen, the good in them, bara, and the evil in them, in other words, what's going good, what's going bad, b'lishi ochosh mimenu, without being afraid, perhaps this fellow is going to double cross him or do something bad to him, shaviu b'kach b'zoyin, and bring embarrassment upon him, lo etzlov lo zula, so no. This person, he's confident. This person is his confidant in the sense that he's sure this person won't embarrass him, not between the two of them, not with a third party either. When the soul has this trust in some person, to this extent, he'll have a great deal of pleasure, not physical pleasure in this sense, but rather spiritual pleasure, in their conversation, and in their friendship. Finally, says the Rambam, the highest level of friendship, the chaver ledavar nale, is a friend for a lofty purpose. Who? Which is, shetei kmiya shneim umatrason, that the yearning of both of them and their goal is le'inyon echot, for one common matter, hu asiyah satov, which is to do good. What? High, elevated. And each one of them is going to want to use the help of their friend in order to acquire that good for both of them together. And that is the friend we've been enjoined to acquire here. In other words, not a chaver, not a friend on the lower level of a toeles, of an advantage. Not a friend even on the lower level of chaver ano, one who provides pleasure, even if it's spiritual pleasure, but rather a friend with which one pursues a purpose of doing good. And that's why in this Mishnah, the two concepts are linked. Just like the Rav is some teacher who's going to teach you Torah, so too Kenei L'cho Chaver is the friend with which together you will pursue in common higher goals in Torah and Avodas Hashem, in learning and in becoming a better person. Now, how does one go about achieving that? That high level of friendship. It's a very interesting maysa here, and there's a very interesting discussion whether this is correct, what is the correct perspective, and nobody can really answer what's correct. Everything is, of course, what works for the individuals involved. Here on the bottom in the italics, this is from, Gateway to Happiness, I think, but one of Rabbi Pliskin's books. So Rabbi Ben Zion Yadler writes that there was a group of people in Jerusalem who formed a friendship club. Members of this club promised to help one another in all possible ways. Rabbi Yadler was impressed with this and asked Rabbi Yehoshua Leib Diskin for his opinion. Rabbi Diskin asked Rabbi Ben Zion what he felt about the matter. Rabbi Yadler replied that he thought highly of the idea, since the foundation of the group is based on the precept of loving one's fellow man. Rabbi Diskin, however, disagreed and explained that the club was not the embodiment of the precept at all. Such a group is not a manifestation of loving one's fellow man, he said. It is a manifestation of love for oneself. The only reason they will be helping one another is so that they too will receive assistance when they need it. This is against the Torah's commandment to love everyone, even those who are not members of the group. Furthermore, even if someone has wronged you, you are obligated to aid him because of the prohibition against taking revenge. Rabbi Yehoshua Leib concluded by warning Rabbi Yadler, far be it from you to join such a group. It's against the Torah. So, a very interesting maysa you have here. You have here that this Rabbi Yehoshua Leib Diskin said that it is against the Torah principles to have a concept of a friendship circle or a close circle of friends. Why? Because then you're limiting your mitzvah v'avta recha kamocha to the people who are in your circle. What about the people who are beyond that? They're not Jews who you have to love. However, there's an asterisk here. There are others who feel that such a group serves a beneficial function. We should elevate ourselves rung by rung. People have a natural tendency to think only about themselves. but by helping a select group of friends, one develops the habit of thinking about others. This will enable a person to progress to widening his chesed to even larger groups. But everyone agrees that the end goal is to love and assist everyone, not merely a select group. Now, he says it's taken from the Torah Savram. Torah Savram was Rabbi Avram Grodzinski, the last Mashgiach of Slabodka. And I did photocopy what he says on the opposite side of the page. And he also has a source of the Mishnah Avos for his opinion. The Mishnah Avos, Perek Beis Mishnah Tes, says, and he quotes it here at the top right column, Rabbi Yochanan Metzaka said to his Talmidim, "Tzuru ezu yiderech yishar shidbak ba'adam." Rabbi Yochanan Metzaka said to his students, "Go and find what's a good path which people should connect to." Rabbi Yeshua Mer Choverto, one of his students, Rabbi Yeshua said, "A good friend." Rabbi Yosi Mer Shachintov, Rabbi Yosi says, "A good neighbor." What are they arguing about? What's the difference between a good neighbor and a good friend? First says Rabbeinu Yoina says in his commentary in Pirkei Avos, Chaver tov shidbak adam, chaver tov, that a person should connect to a good friend. Shachin tov, a good neighbor, levakish dira shishcheineha toivim, to look for a neighborhood where he'll have good neighbors in the plural, more than one. Ki chavrosim tadir, because he'll be frequently be in their company, v'anosim aruba, and he'll have a great deal of benefit for them. Bizman shem toivim, when they're good. Kach b'shura rishonim sal. This is what the rishonim say, in other words, those who preceded Rabbeinu Yoina, Ve'eno derech yosha. I don't like this way of explaining the Mishnah. Ki lefi divrayim, because according to their understanding, ayin tov of a leiv tov ein vorim shebegufo. The other things that are enumerated in the Mishnah, which are good drachim to have, are to have a good eye. In other words, to look upon things nice and well, and be willing to dedicate time and money to efforts. For leiv tov, and a good heart is also having a good heart and being constantly happy. These are things which have to do with a person's own body, his own self. On the other hand, the other drachim which are enumerated in this Mishnah, which is a good friend and good neighbor, has nothing to do with character traits of a person himself, that has to do with other people. That's how Rabbi Yochanan Metzaka was asking his students. He wasn't asking them, what kind of people should you join up with? He was asking, what kind of midos should a person develop? What kind of traits should a person develop within oneself? So therefore, says Rabbeinu Yonah, can you the parish of Mishnah? Therefore, we should explain the Mishnah differently. Chaver tov means lios batzmo chaver tov liishechot, to be himself a good friend to one person. Lasher libo chafetz, to he whom his heart desires. Ulahagil atzmo, and to habituate himself. Shetehei ruach acheres nochoy menu, that somebody else's spirit should derive satisfaction from him. V'chein yovo ba'aval kol abrios, im kol abrios. In that way, he'll achieve a love with all creatures. Shachin tov, what's a good neighbor? Shiyeh ba'atzmo shachin tov el kol shchinov. They shouldn't pick just one person, but should have a whole group of neighbors with whom he becomes friendly. V'achar yoso tovo ev ne'mon, once he's good and really loves. V'chamisho shmona b'nei odom, 5 or 8 people, Karovei love Adovar, it's very likely, Lehov is Koba Ha'olam, that he'll love everybody in the world. V'nimtzom u'shar b'chol midos ha'tovos, and then he'll be satisfied and happy with all the good midos which he acquires. So the way Rabbi Yon interprets the Mishnah, it's very clear that he's not learning like Rabbi Yeshua, like, Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. Because Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin says one shouldn't focus on an individual or even on a group. Along comes Rabbeinu Yoina and says, not that way. He says, on the contrary, you know what? It's a gradual stepping stone procedure. First start with your specific friend, and then start, or perhaps a group of friends, and then proceed from there. And Rabbi Avraham explains, you know why it has to be like that? Because the love of self, which a person has, is such a powerful emotion, which tries to hold him back from connecting to others, that it's very difficult to try and get out of that in the abstract. It's much easier to pick a person towards whom you'll try and breach that barrier of the love of yourself and connect to that person to the greatest extent that you possibly can. Once, you know, it's like the levees which hold back the Mississippi. So once they're broken in one place, so then the water can flow through. Right? But that's the one, they need that small breach in order for all the water to get through it, and then, of course, that follows in turn. So to hear, you have to have one friend or a group of friends, says Rabbeinu Yonah, towards which you direct yourself consciously and consistently and make it an avodah, a special task upon yourself to grow friendly with and be friendly with in all the meanings which the Rambam attached to it. And then after that, subsequently, you can expand once you've conquered your trait of love of yourself and go and have friends throughout Am Yisrael and fulfill the mitzvah after Echo Kamocha throughout. Yeah. Yeah. I have to remind you, tell you, this new mic doesn't pick up questions, which might be good. But anyway, yeah.
Anyway, if I would exclude those who, you know,
are... No, that's something else. You know, you're talking about a clique which is founded by people in order to exclude others, whether consciously or subconsciously. That's not what he's talking about.
Right. But what is somebody supposed to do if she or he wants to be part of a group within the class and the group is dividing cliques? You know?
That's a problem, but that's not the same thing which we're talking about. In other words, there you have a problem with the other people who are not willing to go beyond the boundaries of their group. There's nothing you can do about it directly. I mean, that's not what we're... you can plead with them, get down your hands and knees, and let's say, please let me into your clique. But we're talking now not about how to resolve that problem, but how a person can work on themselves in order to make themselves more ohavei abrios. I can't answer your question. That's true, but I can't... Yeah. That's a problem, but we can't deal with that tonight. There's nothing we can do about cliques and schools this evening. In any event, so that's the idea, and we see here this disagreement. Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin held it was bad to focus on a group of people, perhaps because he felt that it was that way a clique would form, and that would be a negative because the limit of good would be limited to your peer group or your social group. Whereas Rabbi Avraham and Rabbeinu Yonah hold that it's good to work in increments, starting with a small group and then extending out. Yeah. He thinks very highly of you?
Yeah.
Well, he didn't know you, so I don't know if he had thought highly of you, but... Yeah. Yeah. Look, Rabbeinu Yonah was a Rishon. People were on a higher level at that time. Obviously, if you started that way, you could gradually build yourself. I'm not sure if this would be applicable in our day and age. But the way Rabbi Avraham specifically used Rabbeinu Yonah, he said it's at the end of a speech, which you can see inside if you'd like. He says, listen, this is said at a gathering of the students, the alumni of Slabodka. He said, listen, we all learned in the same yeshiva. Since we all learned together, we should have a natural group in which we should be concerned with each other and be tight, close friends. Let's work on this bond, make it stronger, and then the bonds of Ahavat Reim, of love of our friends, which we form here, can spill over to the rest of the world. Okay, so that's the idea he was stating. Now, this really is a practical etzah to how to achieve V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha, to how to achieve friendship. And the Rambam we saw explains what this importance of friendship is in the practical sense, in that it will allow you to work together to achieve a goal of greater Avodas Hashem. But now we haven't really discussed what the importance in Yahadus actually is of V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. So in order to explain this, we really have to see a little bit here from Simcha Zissel Mikelm, the author from Kelm. The author from Kelm writes that about the approach to Yom Ha'Noraim, the approach to the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and interestingly enough, he approaches it on the basis of his understanding of Tisha B'Av. And he has here a kol koire, which is a public notice which he spread to his talmidim and his yeshivas. He had two yeshivas in Kelm and in Grubin. And he writes here about the perceptions which we acquire in Tisha B'Av, which will serve us in good stead to go to Yom Kippur. What are they? The two basic lessons from Tisha B'Av. First of all, we see from Tisha B'Av the severity of chet. Why says the author? Very simple, Svara, he says. You know, in this world we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiteif Midas HaRachamim Midas Adin. In this world, God combined his attribute of mercy, so to speak, with his attribute, so to speak, of judgment. We all know God originally wanted to create the world completely on the basis of judgment, of din. He saw the world could not survive that way. Therefore, he also brought in the midah of rachamim, the trait of mercy. We see, says Reb Simcha Zissel, after there's a trade of mercy, how bad things went for the Jews. How much punishment and travail the Jews underwent. That should be a lesson to us. In Olam Haba, it's again din. This rachamim is just a temporary thing in this world. If it's in this world with the rachamim, there's so much punishment for sin. How much more so should we be afraid of the potential punishment for our sins after 120 years when we are brought to a world which is rooted just in din and not in rachamim? In other words, in this world there's mercy. The world to come, it's all judgment. Since it's all judgment, of course there's mercy in the judgment too, but there's no restraint in the same way that Kosh Baruch Hu is erech apayim, is long-suffering and patient in this world. So therefore he says we have to realize the gravity of the sin, we have to do tshuva. That's one thing he says. And then he says another, perhaps more important for our topic tonight, fundamental concept. And if you turn to page 3, in the second paragraph, V'nei amru zal b'yuma, Chazal said in Masechta Yuma, Mikdash Sheni, the second base on Mikdash, Mipnei Mechule, Mipnei Charech Machorev, why was it destroyed? Shoisa bo sinas chinam, because the Jews didn't get along with each other, literally they hated each other for naught. V'shalu, and they asked, Ezimem Merubem, what sin was worse? The first base on Mikdash was destroyed because of the big three cardinal sins, because of Gilui Arayah, Shvichus Domei Avodah Zarah, because of licentious behavior, and because of murder, and because of idolatry. The second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because Jews didn't get along with each other. So which was worse? The yeshiva, they responded, Tzunuei Nechem Bebira. Look at the Beis HaMikdash itself. Shechozer Lishonim was rebuilt for the earlier generations. In other words, it was rebuilt after 70 years for punishment for those who only transgressed the sins of Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shvichus Domim. Whereas for us, it hasn't come back. He says, this Avera is clearly worse than Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shvichus Domim. He doesn't even explain. But the truth is that the idea here is simple. Why is Sinas Chinam, why is this hatred between Jew and fellow Jew worse than Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shvichus Domim? Because, well, you know what? Let's leave it for a few moments. We'll come back to it in a while. In the meantime, he says, the caravan for the Yomim Doroim is v'havta re'echa kamocha. What does he mean by that? He says, we see that people who go on dangerous journeys, they form caravans or convoys. They have to take special measures to safeguard themselves. Yomim Noraim is a dangerous journey. There's a lot of judgment during Yomim Noraim. The Torah says, or Chazal tell us, what's the most dangerous thing which befell the Jewish people? What's the biggest pitfall in the journey of the last 2,000 years? Sinas Chinam. It's particularly important in our convoy that we safeguard ourselves by attempting to make sure that there is no sinas chinam. As a matter of fact, what should we make sure? That the exact opposite should occur. That we should fill ourselves with love of our fellow man. So he says, how do we do that? He says, I'll give you a few suggestions, how one brings about enhanced v'ahavta re'echa kamocha. The first suggestion he gave, which is more relevant to the specific students which he had in his yeshiva, is a common limit. They should all learn the same subject. The subject he suggested was a certain subject which had to do with Musar and the Sefer Tomer Dvorah. The second suggestion he suggested was mulling on V'Ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. You have a few minutes free in the day, think about how you're supposed to love your fellow Jew. Think about how all Jews are special. Think about how all Jews are bani matem l'Hashem Elokeichem, are children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Think about how you love your fellow Jew. The third thing he says is, V'lu Shalayim Mircha, Turek Shemana Esrei. Every day you say, V'lu Shalayim Mircha, Barach Mitoshev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return to Yerushalayim. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu leave Yerushalayim? Because of Sinas Chinam, because people didn't get along with each other. Why will HaKadosh Baruch Hu return to Yerushalayim? Because people will start getting back together again. It's an ideal time to think about going back to Yerushalayim. And he brings down here a very powerful statement. Take a look here in the footnote Dalit, on the top left. Five lines from the bottom of the footnote. Uvamokom Acher, in another place, Xaviyad, in one of the author's manuscripts, Kosavot, he writes like this. Hinei anachnu roim, we all see, Ki ha'amon, the masses, homrim kinos, where they say kinos on Tisha B'Av, ubochim sham, and they cry there. See, after he has a psuch, this lived 100 years ago. People used to cry during kinos. Now it doesn't happen so often, but once upon a time, people used to cry. So, amayim bochim, why are people crying? Alatzara, shusav luos. They cry because people underwent tremendous sorrow and travail at the time when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Varigas asara ruge malchus, and people cry because the 10 great Talmid Chachamim in the generation were killed. And one might add that people cry because of the travail which Am Yisrael underwent in the Crusades, and the travail Am Yisrael underwent by the Cossacks, and the travail Am Yisrael underwent in the Holocaust, and the travail Am Yisrael undergoes at the hands of Arabs. A person can cry about all that in Tisha B'Av. But that's not it. It's like somebody who cries when he hears a fable. Somebody who cries when they see a sad movie, lahavdil. Zem Aysenoshim says that's what women do. Omnam, he says, rather, Yeshli, no offense, I didn't write that. Omnam Yeshli Zvonen, rather one should examine, Lama Baleim Atzoros Eile, why did the Tzoros occur? Yodanu Ki Akol Yeshlem Siba. We know that all our travail occurs for a reason. V'nei hodyunu chazal. Chazal tells us, ki asibahi, what's the reason? Sinas chinam. Hatred of other Jews for naught. In other words, it's not right to cry on the manifestations, on the symptoms. You have to cry about the cause. What's the cause? The cause is sinas chinam. That's what we have to cry about. That's what we have to do tshuva about. That's what we have to feel remorse and regret and aggravation about. The fact that there's so much strife between fellow Jews until our very day. Then he goes on to say, in the next piece here, very deep idea. Says, you know, Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says on Rosh Hashanah, Imru lefanai malchius kedei shetam lichuni aleichem. Say before me the tefillos which have to do with making me a king, in order that you should make me a king upon you. And we discussed last year around Rosh Hashanah time, and this is something which is clear from the davening, that the primary avodah on Rosh Hashanah, the primary service of Hashem, is not tshuva. Tshuva really has to do with Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is when we return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Hashanah has much more to do with declaring God as the king. Melech HaKol HaOretz. That he is the king, and therefore he has the right to judge us, and therefore we praise him because we are the subjects of the king. That's the theme of Rosh Hashanah davening. Throughout, look at Shmoneh Esrei, it's a constantly recurring theme, which is the focus of the day. Says Rabbi Simcha Zissel, the author from Kelm, how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu a melech? How does he become a king? Just like a man, just like a human king becomes a king. How does a king become a king in the human world? By having a nation. A nation of servants united in serving him. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu become our king? By having a nation which is united in serving him. How do we unite in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What? No, not just Torah and Mitzvahs, more than that. By emulating Hashem. In other words, the way in which we serve Hashem is V'alach L'Mitzrachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like every king has his flag, which he expects you to pay homage to, and he has his rules, which he expects you to obey in order to be his nation, and he wants you to give praise to the king. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us rules, and what a way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to praise him is by emulating him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's primary pursuit in this world is doing chesed, doing good and favor and giving to Am Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to emulate him and do good and chesed and do favors to Am Yisrael. By the mitzvah of Ahavta Re'echa Kamocha, that is the way we successfully observe and observe the message and importance of Rosh Hashanah, and bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will into the world and make him the king of Am Yisrael. He says in Simcha Zissel, I have a good place for you to be mechaving this in davening. Very good place. I want to tell you, this is in davening. Is that a sitter? Can I have that sitter a second? The sitter. I just want to make sure I have this right.
Yes.
This is right after Micha Mocha Ba'elim Hashem in davening in Shacharis. And I want to tell you, this is really not directly relevant, but it's a very important thing to realize. The entire last paragraph before Shemona Esrei, that whole paragraph until Gaal Yisrael, in Kelm, where Reb Simcha Zissel was Rosh Yeshiva, it used to take them 20 minutes to daven just that paragraph. That paragraph was so important, and the truth is you find many basic concepts of our emunah, of our religion and our beliefs in this paragraph. They used to spend 20 minutes on it. So at the end of the paragraph it says, Shira Chadosh Shibchu Gulum Shimcha Asfas Hayom, with a new song the redeemed ones praised your name at the seashore. Yachad Kulam Hodu V'imlichu V'amaru. All of them in unison gave thanks, acknowledged your sovereignty, and said, Hashem Yiloch Lom Void, Hashem shall reign for all eternity. In this pasuk we have both concepts expressed. Yachad, together, Am Yisrael making themselves the nation, which is the nation on which Hashem reigns, Kulam Hodu V'himlichu. And in that way, they gave Malchus, they came to give glory to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They came to make him their king over them. So this pasuk says, Reb Simcha Zissel, we have an ideal point at which you can have this kavana. The kavana of A, we are together in unison, V'avta Re'echa Kamocha, then we constitute B, the nation, which Hashem is the king, the supreme king over. I have here the thing which I wrote down. It's important always to remember, and I think I mentioned this once before, although I don't remember which context, that we always say, however, in singular, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. It's not just enough to love Am Yisrael as a nation, because it's very easy to love Jews in theory, but much harder to love Jews in practice. And that's why the pasuk tells us, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. It doesn't say love Am Yisrael. It says each and every Jew you should love. Don't just love the concept of the Jewish people, but when it comes to Tom, Dick, and Harry, you say, oh, not them, the other Jews I love. But rather, each and every Jew you're supposed to love, which gets back to what Rabbi Avraham said in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, that you have to concentrate on specific people, not as a philosophical issue of loving Jews, but rather on loving individual Jews. Says Rabbi Zimbabwe, this is another way to remember how V'ahavta Re'echa Kamocha is so important, is that all of Shemona Esrei is in the plural. You say, oh, Eslach Lonu, Hashivenu, Avinu, Rifaenu. It's never in the singular. You never ask for yourself alone, because your entire relationship with Hashem is based on the fact that we are a nation and that we are all together and that we are each enjoined to ensure the welfare of others and support others together with ourselves. And therefore, all of Shemona Esrei is focused on the plural, nothing on the singular. Then he says, it's important before a person davens, each and every morning, or for that matter, whenever a person davens, to accept upon himself the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. And the fact that's brought down not just by him, I think that Arizal already said something of that sort. Yeah, if you take a look on page 4, in footnote base, he brings down at the top right, Ayin Chochma Usur Chil Beis Amud Tzadikei, that's Reb Simcha Zissel's Sefer. B'Shamini says there, V'arachnu B'Seah, we spent a long time explaining, Shalakaf Kodam Atfilo, before davening, Tzorech L'Kabal Olav, a person has accepted upon himself, Mitzvah Sar After Re'echa Kamoch, the Mitzvah After Re'echa Kamoch, Chulei. U'Vasforim Eifiu, and the Sforim they bring down B'Shem Ari, in the name of the Arizal, that Mishara Kavanos, he warned all the friends who he had with him, before they down in the morning, they should accept upon themselves mitzvah of loving their friend as themselves, and should have the intent of loving every Jew as themselves. Through this, the tefillah will go up when it is combined with all of Am Yisrael. The tuchal la'alos v'lasos tikkun l'mala can go up and rectify things on high. In other words, practically, you might not have kavon on your davening. most of us don't have the right kavanah during davening. Almost none of us have ever davened any davening from beginning to end with complete and total kavanah. Surely not on a weekday, perhaps on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But if we have this intent that we're davening together with everybody else, so then our tefillah doesn't come before God as one person's tefillah, and is therefore not examined as an isolated person's avodas Hashem to see if he lives up to par, which is very difficult, but rather comes as part of the totality of the tefillos of Am Yisrael, as part of all Jews davening. And therefore, even if his tefillah himself was not the best, since it joins up with other Jews davening, and each Jew adds a little bit of kavanah, that way the tefillah is far more effective, is far more capable of achieving the desired result. Says Reb Simcha Zissel, finally, that avas abrios and avas Hashem are linked. And that's here in footnote number 3. It brings down that ayin chokhma musar chelak aleph amud lamed aleph v'tochen dvarav kosav, and within the words he wrote like this, v'nimtzo ki avas abrios, loving one's fellow Jews, he skarvus Hashem yisbar, brings him close to Hashem. That's why v'avdarecha kamocha, klal gadol b'Torah, is a great principle in the Torah. Ki zeh motzei lilma ma'od lislamed lelechus bidrochav yisbarach. From fulfilling v'avdarecha kamocha, we learn the ways of God. I might add, you don't just learn the ways of God, that is the ways of God. V'avdarecha kamocha is, in essence, emulating Hashem, just like Hashem loves Jews, and his entire purpose in this world is to do good to the Jewish people. So too, that way we emulate Hashem. Love them too. Love evil Jews too. Yeah. You shouldn't be friends with them. Yeah, separate. But love them. That is love. You'll see. Yes, I know. I understand you. You'll see. Okay. Patience. V'tizchazik etzlo tomid akoras emunah v'ashkocha. A person should always fortify by himself the recognition of emunah. And in other words, he will strengthen his belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in divine control by strengthening his love in his fellow man. And you see, on top here in the text, it brings down a ksavis kashrus, a contract, literally, which the rabbeim and talmidim in the yeshiva and kelm would sign together in order to accept upon themselves as a group, again, hearkening back to Rabbeinu Yoina, the mitzvah of v'avdarecha kamocha among themselves, and accepting it upon themselves before davening and constantly thinking of it, and that way they wanted to have a tremendous chus, a tremendous merit. Now, I want to go on now to what the son of the altar from Slabodka says, both the altar from Cameron, Reb Nosson Tzvi Finkel, and this is a slightly different idea, and it's interesting in that it is somewhat different than we normally think, and then later on I'll come back to what we were speaking about a moment ago. The author from Sabotka says, and I'm not sure if we'll see it inside, it's a lot of Hebrew and it's extensive, and I think we can express it pretty well outside. The author from Sabotka comments that we have a pasuk which tells us that you should be nice to gerim. It's a pasuk in Shmos. It says, be nice to gerim, ki atem yedatem es nefesh ager, because you know the soul of the ger. It doesn't say, be nice to your friend because yedato es nefesh v'reyacho, because you know the soul of your friend. What does it mean by nefesh hager? Why is it emphasizing, you know the soul of the ger, of the convert, therefore be nice to him? So says the altar, the pshat is like this. A true empathy is essential for true avas rein. In order to have a real v'avdarecha kamocha, you have to know exactly what that person is undergoing. And in normal circumstances, you cannot. The anguish and pain of one person is not the anguish and pain of another person. The needs of one person are not the needs of another person. Therefore, it's practically impossible, and the Ramban, in fact, says this in his commentary in the Chumash there on the mitzvah of Avdarecha Kamocha, in Parshas Kedoshim, it's practically impossible for you to completely love your friend as yourself because you don't understand your friend as well as yourself. But says the Chumash, when it comes to Gerim, though, that, at least the first generation which came out of Egypt, you can have total empathy with Gerim. You know what it means to be a foreigner. You were a foreigner in Egypt. Since you had that experience, you know when a foreigner comes to join the Jewish people, be nice to them because they'll be uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable in Egypt, you realize the discomfort of the ger, treat him nicely. That's why the Torah stresses, in this case, you can achieve total empathy with the plight of this individual therefore you are capable of fulfilling the mitzvah which I'm giving you of being really nice to the ger. Says the Altar from Sabotka, this is in essence being similar to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it says about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kshadam Itzdar, when a person is in pain, Shechina, what is the divine presence, Ma'omeres? Kalani Me Roshi, they wounded me in my head, Kalani Mizroi, they wounded me in my arm. It's an amazing thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has empathy with the Jewish people. Whenever the Jewish people suffers, and even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make them suffer, like a child who has to punish, like a parent who has to punish a child, or a doctor has to perform a painful operation on a patient, even when it's necessary to cause suffering, it bothers HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's empathy with us is complete. Our empathy vis-a-vis our fellow man is an emulation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's empathy vis-a-vis us. And that is why we are required. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels the pain of Am Yisrael, for ourselves to feel the pain of Am Yisrael as well. That's why it says the Altar, he brings down from Chazal, in Vayikra Rabbah, it says in the pasuk we say in davening every day, Yismach Hashem b'masa. Doesn't say Hashem is sameach, Hashem is happy with his creation, which is with his people, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy. Yismach, with Yud. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be happy in this world. For every mitzvah a Jew performs, for every simcha a Jew has, there's, on the other hand, an Avera, which another Jew performs, or a Tzara, which another Jew undergoes. In this world, there can never be complete Simcha before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even at the time of Matan Torah, which should have been the happiest time in Jewish history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew they were going to sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew a few days later it would all be over. There was never a complete Simcha before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we say, when will there be complete Simcha, complete joy? Only Lasi Glava, only in the future, when the redemption occurs and when there's no more Tzara in the world. The same thing is true whenever, says the Altar, whenever we have a Simcha here, regardless of how strong our Simcha might be, there's always concern, there are always Tzaras which go on. You have Chasdas, you have Levias. There's never a time when our Simcha is complete. Says the Altar, now it's taken a step further. Not only that, but even at a time when a person is undergoing a simcha because of an accomplishment or because of a joyous event, even that person is not fulfilling their true potential. Chazal tell us, Mosai yagiu maisai l'maisei avosai Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. A person has to constantly ask himself, when am I going to reach the level of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? That means, if a person doesn't reach the level, not the level in knowledge, not even the level in tzidkus, but that a person should strive, just like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov filled their lives with Avodas Hashem, that we should also fill our lives with Avodas Hashem, with worshiping Hashem and serving Him. So, what happens is that even when a person has accomplished something, and done something good, or undergone a joyous event, still, it's not the ultimate. We know that all of us are not like Avraham Avinu. None of us are like Avraham Avinu. So he says, even at the time when a person seems to experience simcha, and truly experiences simcha, it's not real full simcha. So he says, even at the time of a chasna, which is the ultimate simcha which we can think of in this world, perhaps, we say, Samech t'samach yitzircha, Samech t'samach reim ha'uvim, like the simcha which occurred in Gan Eden of Adam and Rishon before the Chait. In other words, we know this is simcha, but this is nothing like what simcha is really supposed to be like. What true simcha is supposed to be like is much greater than the simcha which they're undergoing now at the time of their chasen and kala, the time of the marriage. So it's never that the simcha in this world is complete. And says the Altar, if you're really a friend, it's an amazing thing he says. If you're really a friend, even at the time that your friend is rejoicing, and you're happy because he's happy, and you're attempting to participate in his happiness, you feel a sense of sorrow. Because you know that this person is not fulfilling their potential, either for simcha, because there could be a far greater simcha, or their potential and their accomplishment in life. It's always a degree short of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's never So he said, I just want to read you the last paragraph together. If you turn to page 5 at the top. He says, at the last paragraph on the top right-hand part of the page, Ulfiz and Ovin, according to this we'll understand, Kichob Adam L'Simoch B'Simchas Chaveiro, the requirement of a person to have joy and pleasure at when his friend is joyful, and then Simcha Meyosha Chaveiro. It doesn't mean that he should be full of joy because his friend is satisfied and happy. Shereza Eino Matim Klala Emes, because true empathy requires not that you blind your eyes to the shortcomings. Kilafi Ashkafa Nachona, and the proper perspective, Ein Chaveiro Meushar Klal B'Chelko. A friend, his friend should never be satisfied in that which he has. As long as he doesn't reach the Milo, the Madrego Avram Avinu, beguf of a nefesh, in body and soul. Odenu Choser, still lacking. Vani, and he's poor. Va'arbe Yesh Litzdara, loved one, could be very, very sorrowful concerning him. Ve'choyis Machel Zematzovo Deidna. How can he be happy with this person today? So what? How do you do it? Ela Shechov HaSimcha, the requirement to be happy with your friend when he is happy, hurak b'tor nesias olim chavero, is only to join in the yoke with his friend. It's a very interesting concept. We have in Pirkei Avos, it tells us, one of the 48 things with which the Torah is acquired is nosei b'olim chavero, to carry the yoke with your friend. Says the author, carrying the yoke with your friend doesn't just mean bearing his burden of sorrow with him, or joining and assisting him. Even when your friend is happy, to be happy with him is an avodah of nosi bo'o b'chavim chavero. In the other direction. How so? He says, klomer me'achar shu'ata. Since he now, sov kosov in the final analysis, b'matzav then in this situation, is in a situation of simcha, tzrichim anu l'cho apachos. It is a minimum requirement upon us, l'heitiv es libo samcho, to gladden his heart and give him joy. B'chtei she'yishkach reisho. In order that he should forget his poverty in terms of his potential, v'lo yalal daito mashu chaser lo, and he shouldn't think of that which he's lacking. V'al kein tzrichim sheyubi libeinu adaigo v'tzara lov, therefore in our heart we should have the worry and anguish and pain concerning him, u'befonenu, while on our face there's simcha. Now, at first glance, it seems to me, you know, like a very depressing thing. That means you can never really be happy. What does it mean? You never really be happy because you're always worried about your potential? And on the other hand, isn't this a shortcoming in your friendship with this person if he's sincerely happy and you can't be sincerely happy? You have to just pretend you're happy, but in your heart you have to have anguish? The answer is, of course, it's not like that. Because, on the contrary, the true empathy and friendship is not just to make your friend happy, and not just to have a good time with your friend, and not just to be some meh with him, but rather true friendship is that you're united, like the Rambam says, in a common purpose, in the purpose of achieving your potential in Avodas Hashem. And that requires that even at a time of simcha, when you have a simcha shel mitzvah, and you're supposed to be happy, and you're supposed to be happy for the reasons that you're supposed to be happy. Chazal say that b'shas chedvasa chedvasa. Even though you know that there are times when you have to be sorrowful, when you're happy, you should be happy if it's a simcha shel mitzvah. But the concern always has to be there. The concern that ultimately we're in this game in order to achieve greater potential in our avodas Hashem, to the point that halavai we can emulate Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So that always has to be your concern vis-a-vis your friend. At every moment, just as you should be concerned about yourself to fulfill your own potential, you should be concerned about your friend's potential in avodas Hashem. Always, how can I further his growth and his aspirations to become a better Oyved Hashem? Now, getting back to what we were speaking about previously, Reb Yerucham from Mir speaks about the secret of iskashrus, the secret of feeling a commonality and a bond with your friend. Says Reb Yerucham a very powerful thing. This is what I'm going to address your question from before. On the right opposite that, in the last paragraph in the top left-hand column, in terms of the connection of people to each other, we see an amazing thing. It's possible. Somebody did to his friend a great favor. Literally saved him from death to life. Nonetheless, there isn't a bond between them and no connection between them. So even if you're grateful to that person, and you feel indebted to him, but you don't become connected to him. There's no bond. But in spirituality, if they have some connection, in some intellectual concept, whether it be in some rational thing, or Torah or in Torah, when they just have some type of common pursuit of spiritual matters, they immediately feel a connection between the two of them in their souls. They become completely in love with each other. They dash in the pasuk mitchilu oivim, at the beginning they're enemies because they're jousting with each other in some intellectual pursuits, and then afterwards they become friends with each other. Roim is how we see shim achis askushlem bruchlius, if they deal in matters of spirituality, skulas advarim, the unique quality of the matters is shemuchrochim lisavos ovim gemurim, they have to become complete friends. They're bonded to each other, but tachlis in the ultimate sense. How can we understand this? Where does this come from? This is the secret of this matter. The fundamental concept in spirituality, there's no distinction between each other. El achdus gemura of Am Yisrael is united. Benefesh, in the spirit. There is no such thing as complete connection at all, as separation at all. The essence of the souls of Am Yisrael is to be united. It is a real reality of connection. We have to imagine this in the same way. The unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which encompasses all. What is the secret of combining souls? Shema muchadim betachlis, where they're connected in the ultimate sense. Echad mamish, literally one. Zehu, in this sense. Ato echad, you are one Hashem. V'shimcha echad, your name is one Hashem. U'mika'amcha yitzol, and who is like your nation? Am Yisrael, goy echad, one nation mamish. V'akein, and therefore, rakshin nogim negil kala baruchnius. If we just have the lightest touch in spirituality, v'chokma, v'seichel, in wisdom and in knowledge, shinin nafshius, which is a spiritual matter, we connect to the source of our achdus, which is Hashem. We unite through that. It's like a drop of water, hanofeles liyam, which falls into the sea, shemisachedes bo, and then becomes part of it. In other words, what really connects Am Yisrael is a spiritual connection of being united in our quest for Ratzon Hashem, in our learning of Torah, our fulfilling of mitzvahs, or our worshiping Him together or separately. What bonds us is our connection through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, we see what Pasuk tells us in Mishlei, L'taivo yivakesh nifrad. Lust is quested after by those who want to separate themselves. And the converse is also true. What's the ultimate separation between people? Avera. They lose their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the connection which combines all of us. The glue, which glues all of Am Yisrael together, is our connection through Hashem, who created us as one unit. A unit which is the Am Hashem, the nation of God. If we're not the nation of God because we commit Averas, by definition we're separate from each other. Says Rabbi Yerucham, in essence, the entire Avodah of mankind, all of a person's service and work his entire life, is only ichud and piru, joining by doing mitzvahs or separating by doing averus. He says, and I'll show you a deeper insight to this. It says about Eov, you know, Eov had very good friends. They all came to console him when he lost his property and his children. So Rav Yehuda said, name of Rav, that they're all hundreds of miles away from each other. They didn't live near each other at all. But each one of them had some sort of tree which, when things are going bad for any of them, used to start wilting. And that way they knew. And when they saw it was wilting, they knew immediately which whose problem it was, even though the tree didn't tell them. And they all came together. Not only that, say Chazal, they all came through the same gate and met at the gate at the same time to go to console Eov. And at that Chazal say, either friends like friends of Eov or death. So says Rabbi Yochum, what's pshat? The pshat is that if your bond is so strong, you know, let's see it inside. Last line on that page. Achein lefit reinu mevor eite, based on what we said, it's very well explained. Shemitoch ichudam vidibukam zeim zeh. Since they were so connected and unified with each other, shayu besod ichon afoshus, they had that secret of the bond of the souls. Shayu nafshosam uchodos mamash, that their souls are literally connected. Alkein afshia ben Israel merchak shloshus paris, even there were hundreds of miles between each of them. Loyaz eshum chatzitza beinem, it wasn't a separation. V'yegishu techev esar Eov, they immediately felt the anguish of Eov kemosan mamish belishum hevdel, without any distinction. Ki zehu asochel ichon nefoshos. That's the secret of the commonality and the bond of all the souls. In other words, the tree was just a physical manifestation of something which was true spiritually. We know that that's the way everything works in the world. We said many times, the physical manifestation of the way nature behaves is a direct effect of the cause, which is the spirituality of Am Yisrael. If you have friends which are that spiritually connected, Mimela, the tree wilts, and they know exactly why it wilts when it wilts. And that's why we explained, what's the Isra of Nekama, of revenge? He says it's like if one hand hits another hand, so the other hand's going to cut it off. So all of Am Yisrael is connected. It's all one body. It's all one soul. How can you contemplate becoming and disconnecting your hand from the cutting off, amputating your hand just because it happened to hit your other hand? And he says that's why after Echokamocha, cloud Godel Batera. Why is a cloud Godel Batera? Because in essence, all of the Torah is our connection with Hashem. And the connecting with Hashem is the way we connect with each other. Because our connection is by being the Am Hashem. And it works both ways. The more we connect with each other, the more we become the Am Hashem, the holier we are. The more we connect with Hashem, the more we connect with each other. So there's no such thing, since Yisrael Araisa Vekuchar Brichu Chadu, since Am Yisrael, Hashem, and Torah are one, by pushing on any one of those three levers, you strengthen the other. And that's why V'Avta Re'echa Kamocha is the greatest principle in Torah, because everything is fulfilled by V'Avta Re'echa Kamocha. Says Rabbi Yochum, any person is naturally a pipeline. Any person is naturally, man was created with the will and the desire and the yearning to give. He says, even if you throw criminals into jail, they'll form a society among the ones they like to give to each other, to do good to each other. Okay, so the persons whom they like will be limited. But bottom line is they'll have friends to whom they give. It's a natural drive in mankind. Just that there's also a natural drive to a person to love himself more than other people. But the natural drive in mankind is to give to others. If a person has seen as chinam, he's destroying his own humanity. The human tendency with a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to mankind is to strive to love others and give to others. Seen as chinam is the exact opposite of one of the basic natural traits of humanity, which Ahava V'Avta Re'echa Kamocha represents. And when Am Yisrael lost that basic humanity, which is not just essential for humanity, Mela, but it's much more essential for us, because in order to be an Am Hashem, we have to be a nation, a cohesive nation. That's when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and it will be rebuilt when we rectify that problem. B'mehar B'yameinu.